reading from Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to focus on this one verse and then give it some context. So this is verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Now backing up to verse 24 of Matthew chapter 10. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house had been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And then the verse that I love to highlight this morning, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Well, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's the 5th of September, 2012, and this was read in the wee hours last night, or I should say early this morning, Pastor Jason. But there are so many different things that as I gleaned through this and prayed through it and asked the Holy Spirit to enlighten my mind, I love the fact that whoever acknowledges me, this is talking about Jesus, whoever acknowledges Jesus before men, basically it states Jesus will acknowledge him before Father God. And I thought, wow, can you imagine Jesus up in heaven saying, you know, Father God, you know, Almighty God, Jason here, my son, who's following me, my disciple, my ambassador. He's really doing a good job. I just wanted you to know, I don't know, God already knows everything, but isn't it kind of neat to think that Jesus could, in a sense, be bragging us up or be talking about us to the Father or communicating or communing in that triune Godhead aspects of us? I don't know. I just thought it's just so neat, but it's also convicting because if I disown Jesus before men, or if I'm ashamed to acknowledge him or proclaim him, there's a kind of cost or there's a consequence. And it just reminded me, I want to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ to everyone. I want that to be a part of most all of my conversations. I want to somehow have people enter into a time where we can talk about Jesus. Because if he's truly my all in all, my Savior, my Lord, my Master, I should want to proclaim him. I should want to talk about him. I should want to refer to him. I should explain why I follow him, why I trust in him. He's the Savior of the world. He's the good news message. So I was kind of pretty pumped last night. I want to make sure today we talk about Jesus some.
Which part do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a rich passage. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on there. A couple things stand out to me. Number one is parallel passage to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24 is found in Luke chapter 6 and 40, which is one of my favorite verses, one of about 1,000. But it says, a student is not above his teacher, but every student who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Hmm. And really, just that Jesus keying in once again on this life on life, sharing what it means to follow Jesus, disciple making, that not every student will be his teacher, but he can be like his mm-hmm. teacher. And when you're like your teacher, that means that you carry a lot of the characteristics of your teacher, but in the same token, your own gifts and unique things that God has gifted you with, that God has given you, shine through also. You are like your teacher, but you are not your teacher. I mean, if we follow Jesus, we reflect who Jesus is, we reflect that light. In the same token, I think that also, as we're doing that, our own gifts and things that Jesus has given us kind of shine through also. So that's a great passage, because I think that often we don't do that. I mean, Deuteronomy 6:4 says we're to impress it upon our children, that idea of a consistent kind of pressure. Our hand is on our children, and we don't lift it up and off. And then we, as we impress it upon our children, we talk about it as we go on the road, as we lay down, as we get up. God covers all the bits of our life in that little bit of passage there. Everywhere we go, we talk about who God is and what God's done in our lives. And as we do it, I think that we become, in a sense, a teacher. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has something to teach. I mean, you know, I see parents who are not particularly great parents who are teaching their children some particularly horrible lessons. And they're teaching somebody. Everybody is teaching somebody something, even if you don't realize it in this moment. I mean, take great comfort in this. Jesus says, so do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. Jesus says, look, in the beginning, God separated light and darkness, and there will not be a moment where darkness gets a foothold above light, that everything that is in the darkness will be brought to light at some point, that the light is good, it's greater. And then he talks about sparrows. And I know a lot of people sometimes will go like, wait a second, now Jesus, everybody gets to be like their teacher. What's in the darkness will come to the light. And now birds. I mean, what's happening here?
Hey, I got a lot of hummingbird sightings lately, too. If you stop by my Facebook page, Mark Burns, Hey, you'll see lots of creative Facebook postings of hummingbirds. I held the feeder up yesterday and literally had my little camera in the other hand, and you'll see my arm and all these hummingbirds swirling around. I posted that yesterday. Maybe I'll put it on the website today, too, greatnewsradio.org. But it's a great posting. I did it onto YouTube, but I really connect with the birds and the hummingbirds. And before you keep with your thought, also, how about a student is not above his teacher? How about how all the Pharisees or Sadducees, when they saw the disciples, they said, hey, wait a minute, these guys had spent time with Jesus. So that whole modeling, Jesus rubbed off on them, and they noticed it because they said, where did they get all this wisdom? These are fishermen.
Yeah. I think part of what irked the Pharisees so much was that these men were looking like what the people of God should look like. And maybe they didn't immediately make that connection, but there was some reason why they were rubbing up against them the wrong way as Jesus was rubbing off on them. But Jesus goes on and he talks about birds. I mean, it's such a rich passage. I mean, I wish you would have just picked one part, not all of it. But, you know, there's nothing that will not be disclosed or hidden that cannot be made known, which means that there's nothing out there that God cannot bring light to. There's nowhere that you've been that God has not been, that God cannot go, that God can go into all things. Mm-hmm. You know, we sometimes think that somehow we can hide things from God. You know, I've counseled men, and not too many women, but men for a particular problem of, say, like pornography or something like that. And, you know, sometimes men will tell me these stories of these elaborate procedures where they'll draw the blinds, they'll put their Bible on the bookshelf, they'll do all these elaborate things before they commit this sin. And it's as if they can tuck God away and God will somehow not see into that room in that moment. But here it says that God sees into the darkness and knows what's going on, and he will ultimately bring light to it. It says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it to the rooftops. I think about the times when I've been like at my lowest of lows, you know, in the valley, in the dark. And God has spoken a word of wisdom, a nugget of truth. And it's a nugget of truth that I need to take from the darkness and bring into the light, number one, and then share with a lot of people. Share, particularly maybe with young guys who are in my life who say, look, I stumbled here and I need to share this with you so that you don't stumble. Let me show you what was revealed to me in my own darkness. And by the way, for those of you out there, I want to tell you, we each have those places of darkness in our lives. We really do. And if we're not consistently trying to bring light into those places, I think that we'll actually turn the lights out more and more and more and more and more. And those are our friends in our lives who we go like, I don't understand. They used to be on fire for God, and they loved Jesus and the Bible and the church. I mean, they were there on Monday, and they were there on Tuesday and Wednesday and Sunday, and they would have slept there if they could. And they love God so much, and now where are they? Well, you know what? They didn't share what was in it. They didn't acknowledge that there are places in our heart that is dark. And we're consistently pushing back on an enemy who is tenacious in his pursuit of us. Mm-hmm. And that we need to consistently be vigilant in bringing Jesus into all those places. Jesus is a gentleman. I mean, we need to consistently say, Jesus, I just in submission and humility want to offer my whole heart to you. If there's any places, Jesus, that I need to be revealed, my own sin and shortcoming, show that to me. speak to me in the darkness so that I might bring into light all the things that I need to. You know what? And those are going to be some of the places, I think, for me of greatest wisdom, because that's the place of truth in the places where I'm the most broken.
I like that. I like how you're developing it. I was also thinking in terms of, you know, how the scriptures can be like that diamond, many facets and many layers, kind of like the onion where you can just keep peeling and peeling. And I was thinking, because many times the disciples probably stayed up late hearing teaching from Jesus, hearing him proclaim messages late into the hours. I've shared this with you many times off air. I love my times at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. You know, why I'm awake, I don't know. But I have these rich times where I feel like the Lord speaks through his word, speaks into my heart and into my mind, and it's during those dark hours. And so many times I think, like, he's spoken truth into me, he's whispered in my ear, and I'm to proclaim it during the daylight. When God reveals a truth, an insight, I'm to share that with others during the daylight hours and proclaim his goodness and speak his truth. So I love, like, when he does whisper into my ear, that I will proclaim it from the rooftops. Yeah. Now, thank you, God, we have this privilege being on this side of the microphone that literally hundreds and thousands of people can tune in, and we do pray each and every morning before our broadcast that something that's shared and said can be used for kingdom purposes, can draw you closer to God who loves you and cares for you, or may challenge you or bring conviction or change or hope or insight. And so we do proclaim the good news message, hopefully, on all of our broadcasts. But I love the fact that he spends time with us in the dark and in the light.
Yeah. Let me pull the lens back here, because I want to show you what Jesus is doing here, at least in the passages that you've read. It says here, no student is above his teacher, but a student can be like his teacher, you know, from more so from the Lukean passage. What Jesus is saying is, look it, you can be like me as you learn from me. Come into my presence, sit with me, and learn more and more who I'm like. So Jesus is saying, look it, you can be like me. And then he goes on to say, but there is this constant struggle between light and darkness in your own lives. And this darkness will want to tell you that you're something that you're not. It will want to try to kill you. And you should be afraid of it, because it wants to come and steal and rob and kill and take from you the inheritance in which I've given to you. So he says, look it, you can be like me. Then he says, by the way, there's this struggle that's happening. Mm-hmm. And somebody wants to come and kill and take from you. And then he starts talking about birds. And he starts talking about birds, because if we go back into Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 1 talks about the three kinds of offerings. It talks about offering a bull or a large animal, a ram, which would be the great offering. That's something that the rich people would bring. You know, if you brought a bull in to be offered, you probably had a lot of money. You probably had a lot of substance to your life. You had a lot going on. But then you can also bring a sheep or a goat, which is what we generally see most people bringing, because everybody could hopefully afford a sheep or a goat. Okay, so a goat would be kind of the middle class offering. The middle class person could have a sheep or a goat. And then it says down in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 14 that there's also an offering of birds, because the poor people couldn't afford a big animal, and they couldn't afford even a goat, but they might be able to catch or afford to be able to buy a bird. And Jesus even says, can't you get two sparrows for a penny? He goes, look, you can get two sparrows for nothing. And what Jesus is saying here is he's talking about the Levitical sacrifices. He's saying, look, no student is like his teacher, but every student can be like his teacher. You can be like me. And by the way, there's this struggle between light and darkness. And darkness is going to try and tell you that you are nothing but a meager offering, that you are nothing but a sparrow. Jesus says, this is going to try and tell you that. So don't be afraid, he says, because you are worth more than sparrows. He says, you are the great offering. And Jesus talks about that purposely, because he's building this for his people. See, we lack context and understanding of what's happening. And some of us lack a real big biblical context. So when we read this, we say, okay, I get to be like Jesus. Oh my gosh, there's some kind of struggle. And now there's Jesus talking about birds, and I don't really get that. And then he says that, talking about being acknowledged before God by Jesus himself.
Well, he also mentions, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of God. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Reiterate reiterating, you are special, you are unique. I know everything about you because I care about the sparrows, right, but how much more I care about you.
Well, and when he talks about, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father, I think right away about that passage in Jude that says to him who can keep you from falling. You won't fall to the ground by the will of God because the will of God wants to keep you up. But you may. You may. And God even knows the hairs on your head. I mean, I think I did a tally one time. I did a little study. And I think that women on average have about 420,000 hairs on their head. Men have slightly less, somewhere in the 250,000 to 300,000. And when you think that number of hairs on your head, and God knows if God, if we were to pluck one of those hairs out and let it go into the wind, God could take that one hair and make a whole new you because he knows that. He'd catch that hair and go, "Ah, oh, Mark Burns." And he'd know intimately that that was you. And then in terms of sacrifice, God says, you're not a sparrow. You're the greatest sacrifice. You're the sacrifice, by the way, that Jesus is going to later here go to the cross for. I'm going to give my all for you. Yet while you were still sinners, God sent his son to the cross. How amazing is that? And not only that, but why will Jesus go to the cross? Because whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Jesus on the cross was acknowledging every single one of us before his Father in heaven. It's a powerful passage, Mark. One of my favorite passages, it's a life verse that I have, is down actually a little farther from here in verse 39, which says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And that's a passage we use a lot of times in our house for parenting because we say that we're giving our lives to our kids. I think that Jesus delights in the fact that I'm willing to lose my life in my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if I lose it in places where I think I want to find, you know, this, I think there's success over here, so I'm going to pour my life into that. That Jesus goes, yeah, you know, that's really good, but I really wish you'd lose your life over here because you do it in my name. But what a great passage, Mark, that you brought up. And it reminds me of these great little stories I heard over the weekend. I wasn't feeling so good, so I had some time to just sit and read, and I was reading all these different books and just looking at all these different things. And there was a story about a priest, and a priest got done in Europe. And this priest finished his Sunday service, and he had gone home to his house next door to the church. And he began to make his sandwich, and he put the bread down, and he put the mayonnaise on the bread, and he put the meat down, and he put the lettuce on there. And after a long morning of ministry and hearing people's problems and loving on them the best that he could, he got this perfect sandwich ready. And just as he was getting ready to take the first bite, he heard a knock at the door. And so he kind of, he put the sandwich down, and he went to the door. And there was a man who was just sweating. And it was cold outside. It was the midst of winter. So this man had run all the way to the pastor priest's house. And the man said, "Priest, we need your help. I need your help. There's a family in our congregation which are going to be thrown out of their house today. They have two little babies, and they are struggling. He lost his job, and they just don't know what to do. And in hours, they will be cast out into the snow." And the priest says, "Well, my son, we have to help them." And so the priest, going over to a little box, opened it up, and he took out some money that was from the church that day, and he handed it to him, and he said, "This will take care of the problem, and we'll save them." And the man said, "Oh, thank you so much, Father, thank you." And the man turned around and began to leave, and the priest said, "By the way, my son, how is it that you know the family?" And he turned back, and he looked at the priest, and he said, "Well, I'm the landlord." And I think that often we get our mind in that kind of a thing where we want to love people, but we want to do it on our terms. We want to find our life in Christ, but we want to find our life in Christ our way. And Jesus' continual message is to lose our life, to lose our life in him. I mean, I think of all the times when I spent time talking to people, thinking that there's nothing. Why am I talking to this person? Why am I talking to this person? And then to find out that that was a moment where it tipped him so much closer to accepting who Jesus is. Or I've gone to the grocery store and I thought, I'm only going to run in for just a minute, and I'm going to grab something, I'm going to run back out, and getting stuck in a conversation. And then to find out the next week that guy is sitting in church with tears in his eyes. And Jesus says, whoever wants to find his life, well, that's good. Good for you. But whoever wants to lose it in my name, man, that's the sweet spot. And I was reminded of that story with the landlord because I just don't ever want to be the landlord. I don't ever want to be the guy who wants to love people. I want to do it my way. And Jesus says here, you're worth more than sparrows. But you know what? You have to go into that dark place. You have to go into that place that light needs to come into, that place where you're trying to claim your own life. And you have to release it to Jesus. And that would be my challenge to each person today. Release that place to Jesus. Pray right now, Jesus, I want to open up every part of my heart to you. Not some places, not somehow, but all of it. So that you can do that amazing work. And so that you also will begin to look more and more like Jesus. Imagine you do that. And tomorrow morning you look in the mirror and you go, man, I just feel different. I look different. You know what that's probably, friend? Because you look more like Jesus.
Yeah, and that comes through spending time with Him, praying to Him, praising Him, spending time in His Word, being a part of a fellowship, a community of believers that are growing in His likeness, trying to model His characteristics, His love to a hurting world. And as the Scriptures say here in verse 32 of chapter 10 of Matthew, whoever acknowledges me before men, and that includes men or women, boys or girls, people of any ages, whoever acknowledges Jesus before them, Jesus will also acknowledge him before God in heaven. Wow. Think about that. Think about those things. Think about the incredible opportunity we have today to proclaim the good news message of Jesus, to maybe lead someone into that personal relationship with Almighty God, or maybe to be just that point where you're watering somebody else's work or planting the seed or nurturing them along, no matter whether they're hostile to the gospel on that continuum of being like a -9, -10, -7, and you bring them down to -5, -3, 0 being the point of conversion where they accept the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Or maybe you're just encouraging a senior saint or someone that's walking faithfully, but they need to be blessed or reminded of the good news message. And so they go from +2 to +3 to +8. No matter where anyone's on that continuum, we all need to grow in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And so that would be our prayer for you today as you tune in, as you read God's Word, as you allow yourself to walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading. Allow us to be a part of fortifying you on your faith journey. But most importantly, do it through reading the Word and spending time with other Bible-believing Christians. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night. And tune in Friday. I'm going to have Jason come back because we got a lot more to cover.